If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think it's one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible, maybe the very greatest chapter about love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Amen. And charity in the King James Bible, as it's translated, is a beautiful word. And we in our society have watered down what charity really means. But the word charity in the Word of God here is the word agape, which is an unconditional divine love. Thank God for that kind of love. In fact, my Bible says God is love. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. If you look back at verse number 8, it says charity never faileth. You could say God is love, God is charity. God never faileth. Jesus never fails. Amen. I want to look at the power of love today. Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning that we've been able to read and how it's been declared to our hearts. May the grace of God continue to work within us, Father, and around us. Father, I pray this morning that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit of God and allow us to preach your Word this morning, God. Thank you for the divine love that you have for us, Lord. We that were unlovely, we that were wicked, we that were sinful, you loved us anyway. Thank you, Father. Oh, I pray this morning now, God, you'd help us to examine these verses, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. She was born in 1806. Her name was Elizabeth Barrett. She lived in England, and after 29 years of life, in 1835, her family moved to London, and her health began to decline. She became a permanent invalid. And she was destined to spend the rest of her days confined to her home in a wheelchair. And in 1845, about 10 years later after being an invalid, many of Miss Elizabeth Barrett's poems began to be published. And there was a man by the name of Robert Browning that began to read some of her works that were being published. And he fell in love with her words. And he began to reach out to her by correspondence. And through correspondence, they fell in love. 1 year later, they were married. This man, Mr. Robert Browning, gave up everything in his life to care for his new wife, who was an invalid. He accepted her. He took her just for who she was. And every day, she fell more and more in love with him for his beautiful sacrifice. Finally, Mr. Browning moved his wife, Elizabeth, to Italy, to the warm coast and the sunshine, and through love and care, and it began to help restore Elizabeth to health. And finally, she had a complete recovery. And they asked her, they said, to what do you owe your recovery? She said, I had a friend who loved me. She went on to write these words, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. It's a love story between Robert Browning and his wife, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And though that love story between the Brownings is unique and is grand and inspires the heart, the love story between God and the sinner is even greater. For the love that God has for you and I is an unconditional divine love. It is the highest form of love ever known to any, beyond any human comprehension. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, and I believe verse 16, that God is love. And that same love that God has, He passed on to you and I. For John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is writing about that agape kind of love. It is a love this morning which you and I need to investigate. Agape love is a power that moves us to respond to someone's needs with no expectation of reward. As you think you're loving your spouse or your child or your mother or your dad, your parent, your siblings, or your friend, it's easy to fall into the trap of expecting something in return when you love them. Sometimes you'll start thinking, no matter what I do for him, or no matter what I do for her, it seems that I get no response. Well, if you loved them with an agape love, so what? You're not looking for a response. You see, agape love loves in spite of, not because of. Hey, God loved us despite the fact that we were sinners, despite the fact that we were wicked. But our love is imperfect. We love people for what they do for us. We love people because of things. So don't fall into that trap. You know, there's a danger in the way you do things. It's great to be faithful to being in the mission field or faithful to the house of God. Those are wonderful things. It's good to be faithful as a man of God to the calling God's placed upon your life. I believe that a man ought to be found faithful. But even though you can be faithful without love, what good is it? I thought about it this morning. The one essential ingredient that's missing for most every one of our lives is love. I want to look at these three first verses very quickly this morning. I'm going to let you go. Number one, I want you to see the priority of love found in verse number one. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The writer here, Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Ghost, lifts love up as a priority, and not only in his life, but as an example for all of us. When I look at the Word of God, I want you to think about, now you hear these, and I want you to think about the priority of love from the Word of God. Are you ready? Number one, love is the principal commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Jesus was asked, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these commandments, these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. You see, love is the priority commandment, the principal commandment. Love is the perfect gift. Some weeks ago, we were studying about spiritual gifts, and every person that's saved has a spiritual gift. I know there were temporary sign gifts, but there are service gifts, and there are speaking gifts. Did you know that love this morning, friend, is the perfect gift? Look back one chapter, chapter 12, verse 31. In this chapter, Paul lays out many of the gifts of the Spirit, and it's great to have gifts of the Spirit, but look at verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What way is he talking about? Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. The excellent way that he's showing you is it's great to have spiritual gifts, but if you don't have love, what good is it? I don't know why it's so quiet in here. Do you love one another? Do you love God? Number three, you may say, Preacher Darren, I've not heard you preach on love in a long time. Galatians chapter 5. Turn here with me. Love is the preeminent fruit. The Bible says, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit, that's singular, okay, not fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What is the first fruit that is mentioned? Love. All the rest stem from love. Love is the preeminent fruit according to the Word of God. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is a permanent virtue. Preacher, what do you mean? Verse 8, charity never faileth. Verse 13, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. You understand that charity, which is the agape love, will never fail. Did you know that this love, this priority of love, it is proof of your sonship? It is proof that you are a disciple of Christ? In John 13:35, the Scripture says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Love is the path that we're supposed to walk on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. We're supposed to walk in love. Look at verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Love is the prescription for your home. Preacher Darren, I'm having trouble at home. What should I do? Let me give you a prescription. Love. But you don't know what I've been dealing with. Love is not because of. Love is in spite of. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Hey, God loved us in spite of who we were. Christ loved us in spite of who we were. And husbands, we're to love our wives in spite of how things look, in spite of how they respond. Amen? You're supposed to love. Let me tell you something. God created the man in his image. God is love. Sir, you were created in the image of love. And if you're to be a mirror of that, amen, you should be created in love. The wife taken from his side, near his heart, where she could share love. What's wrong with y'all? Share love one with another. Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. Husbands, love your home, love your wives. Give yourselves for the home. I tell you why we're so quiet in here. It's because if I give an altar call right now, the truth of God being revealed in your heart from what I see on your faces is your love is at best imperfect. You only love because of. Preacher Darren, as long as you preach that book, I'll stay with you. But the first time you don't, I'm through with you. That's not love. That's love. That's making me walk a tight wire and hoping I'll fall. There's no love in that. We have got to learn to love. Amen. It is a priority in the church. It is a priority in the home. It is a priority in the heart. And the power of love, if it really begins to work in you, you'll have some power to overcome envy and overcome the enemy, which the devil tries to tear you up with. God's going somewhere with this wonderful chapter. We see the priority of love. It is the principal commandment. It is the prescription for your home. It is a permanent virtue. It is the preeminent fruit. It's the proof of your salvation. And it's the path that you and I are supposed to be walking on. Hey, man, my daddy had a dream. He saw Grandpa Haney be his father-in-law. He said, in my dream, I saw him. I never seen him look so perfect. He said he was talking to me about heaven. What a wonderful place. And he said, son, I've got to go now. And he said, Brother Troy, before you leave me, I want to look you up when I get to heaven. Where can I find you? He said, well, there's just one street here. He said, it's Love Street. It's a path we're supposed to walk on, amen. We'll find each other and fellowship and commune one with another when we love each other as we're supposed to. Amen. Number one, we see the priority of love. Number two, here is the passage about love, or passages about love. We've read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in 270 words, as best I can count it, Paul lays out a practical portrayal of love. John Wesley said that this is the greatest chapter in all the Word of God because it lays out for us divine love. Now listen, I don't like to change words of the Scripture, but I'm going to do this morning, and I'm going to read it. We said that God is love. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And I want to read this chapter to you again, and I want to insert the word Jesus. You might go back and read it and insert the word God where it says charity. It's agape love, okay? A practical portrayal. Look at this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not Jesus, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not Jesus, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not Jesus, it profiteth me nothing. Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up, doth not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Jesus never faileth. When I sign a letter to people and I put down my name right above it, I try to say, Jesus never fails. He never has. He never wills. Jesus never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Skip down to verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and Jesus. These three. But the greatest of these is Jesus. It's a practical portrayal. There'll be nobody that'll ever love you like Jesus does. Nobody will ever love you and give their life for you that you might be saved from a devil's hell like Jesus will. It's a practical portrayal of love. But I want to say this. It's a problematic passage for me. I love to hear it told, but it's hard for me to live it out. I think about that agape love. I go back to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. A problematic passage. We know that Simon Peter had to deny our Lord and Savior three times. We know that Jesus forgave him of that. We look at verse 15 of this chapter. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. That's a beautiful piece of scripture, but it's just really not that easy. When Jesus asked him, he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? In other words, more than these other disciples that are with you? More than these fishing that you've returned to? There's a lot of people who love fishing. And they love fishing more than they love Jesus. He said, do you love me more than you love these? His word was agape. Simon Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me in spite of? Or do you love me because of? Simon Peter responded. He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. His word for love, Simon Peter's word for love was phileo. Jesus said, do you agapeo me? Do you love me unconditionally? Simon Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you phileo. That means as a friend. That means when circumstances change, I may not love you as much as I did yesterday. Say amen, because our love is phileo as well. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Second time Jesus asked him, Simon, do you agapeo? Do you love me unconditionally? Second time Simon Peter said, Lord, I love you phileo as a friend. Verse number 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This time Jesus didn't use agapeo. This time Jesus said, Simon, do you really love me as a friend? Do you love me with a phileo love? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? But this time he reduced it from agapeo to phileo love. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Phileo. I love you as a friend. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You realize this morning, I doubt that you love your spouse with an unconditional love. I doubt you love your children or your parents or your siblings or your co-workers or the fellow saints with an unconditional love. But God says that we can. How can I? Because He, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, lives inside of us. We can put on the mind of Christ and we can love as Jesus loves. Don't let this be a problematic passage. Thirdly, and I'll be done. Go back now to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We want to see the preeminence of love. Five times in these three verses, Paul says, though I. Five times. Three times he says, have not charity, which is agape love. In other words, Paul's saying this, though I do this or do that, but if I don't have love, I've missed the whole point. Are you hearing me? So I want us to think, first of all, when you look at the first verse, words, hear me, words without love are just noise. I've heard a lot of great speakers speak, but if there's no love, it's just reverend sounding brass and doctor tinkling cymbal. It's more than just words, isn't it, ma'am? Love is an action. He says, though I have the tongues of men or of angels and I have not charity, He says, I've just become a noise. I'm just sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Hitler was a great speaker. He motivated thousands of people to begin to attack the Jews. But because his heart was filled with hatred, it led his nation to ruin. But take a man by the name of David Livingstone and send him to Africa as a missionary. He didn't have great speech. He was not a great orator, but I'll tell you what he did have. He had Jesus in his heart, and he loved his fellow man, and he loved God, and he believed God. And when he went down there to preach to them, they believed how much he loved them, that if he could love them like that, that the God he served would be able to save them. And many thousands called on the Lord. How'd it happen? Because the love that David Livingstone had. Listen, men may not always understand what you say, but I promise you this, it won't take them long to figure out whether you love them or not. A doctor could have a good practice without love. A car salesman can sell a lot of cars without love. But I'm going to tell you what, at the house of God, spiritually speaking, we'll never get to first base without love. We've got to tell people that we love them, and we've got to show them that we love them. And it's not because of, it's in spite of. Don't let your words just become noise. Look at verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Number 2, wisdom without love is for naught. He said, if I have the gift of prophecy, what if right now I could predict when the next earthquake was coming, when the next tsunami was coming, where the next tornado was going to hit? If I could prophesy all those things and lead thousands and millions of people to safety, though I could do that, if I don't love them, I'm nothing. He said, if I had all knowledge, if I had the key to understand what causes cancer, and Brother Mike, if I developed a cure for it, and we marketed it, and I said, listen, I don't even want the money. Y'all can have it. Just keep it. If I don't love them, what good is it? He says, if I have all faith, I'm telling you, I've been around people that's got faith, but we don't have all faith. Our faith at best is imperfect. And though we have all faith, if we had perfect faith, if we don't have love, the Bible says that we can have faith to remove the mountains. If I don't have love, he says, I am nothing. Though you have all wisdom, if you don't have love, it's going to profit you nothing. Thirdly, and the Bible says in verse number 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You may give every dime you got, but if you don't have love in your heart, it's no good. Works without love profits nothing. Though you would die as a martyr and give your body to be burned at the stake, saying, oh, I'm dying for the Lord and I'm dying in the name of religion, if you don't have love in your heart, all your works will profit you nothing. So all your words and all your wisdom and all your works is going to get you nowhere if you don't have love.